All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at Afani.com/crypto101. That's Afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number. So make sure it's protected with Afani.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, where we talk about everything that's going on in the world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. From the fundamentals in the news to the technicals in the charts, we spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. And as Bitcoin is getting ready to push into all-time high territory, you better believe that there is a handful of catalysts that is pushing the price action to the upside. So in today's episode, and really in this week's episode, we want to talk about all of these catalysts that are happening behind the scenes, the things that you may or may not know about that is driving Bitcoin's price to all-time highs, and then explain how this impacts the entire crypto market, the narrative moving forward, what the whales are doing behind the scenes, and of course, how altcoins are impacted by all of this. So clearly, if that doesn't sound bullish, the episode is going to be very bullish. So we suggest you buckle your seatbelts, you get ready, because we got a lot to talk about in today's episode. So I always like to give everyone just a little bit of a sneak peek of what we're going to talk about before we really even dive in. But beyond just Bitcoin pushing to the all-time highs, we have the Genius Act getting talked about right now inside the United States government. This is going to talk a lot about stablecoin legislation. We have some clips that we want to show about this. And then this is going to have some pretty big impacts on the entire crypto market. We also have MicroStrategy buying more Bitcoin. We have sovereigns or government entities increasing their Bitcoin and their MicroStrategy exposure. eToro is going public, who's been a big fan of the crypto markets, actually a group that we've worked with at different points in the past. JP Morgan, a $4 trillion asset manager, is now going to be allowing their customers to buy Bitcoin. Really big deal. Robinhood, here, once again, TiVo, your baby, back in the news talking about how they want to tokenize real-world assets. The whole RWA and tokenization space is a big part of crypto. We've talked about it behind the scenes. We've talked about it on the episode. We're going to talk about it here once again. Of course, there was the big Coinbase data breach, and then at the very end, we got a huge, huge announcement that you're going to want to stick around for. I think all of you are going to find this super interesting and definitely very exciting. So, TiVo, big episode in store. Nothing's new over here. I feel like every week we're coming in bigger and better. But are you ready to break some all-time highs?
Yeah, super excited for it. Big week in the news flow. Like you just said, teed it up. We got a lot to talk about. I think the most interesting thing was something that we had in our team meeting on Monday. We were talking. It was Bryce was with us. The whole team was there. And Bryce asked me, how's crypto Twitter doing? What's the sentiment like out in the crypto streets? And I think we all agreed it's down. It feels like a lot of people got shaken out. We're in this 100 to 108 all-time high range. Feels like we're coiling, hopefully for a breakout, which you're about to show us on the charts. And you go back to when we were here in January, and it was just the absolute euphoric celebration of breaking 100. I remember I was firing off some memes on X and Instagram. Some of our memes on Instagram were getting millions of views. It was a fun time. It was a celebratory time for sure. Now we're back up here a couple months later, and it feels like nobody's excited Kind of feels like, you know, you didn't get an invitation to the party almost. So I hope a lot of our listeners out there, you know, that stuck with us. I know I mention this every single week, but, you know, if you stuck with us, we hope we gave you some cooler heads during the panic and you held on to your bags, maybe even bought some more. But the setup looks good, as you're about to show us. And so we hope all our friends are still holding their bags and ready to go to new all-time highs with us.
Cold mornings, holiday plans. This is when I need my wardrobe to just work. That's why I'm all about Quince. They make it easy to look sharp, feel good, and find gifts that last. From Mongolian cashmere sweaters to Italian wool coats, Quince pieces are crafted from premium materials and built to hold up without the luxury markup. Quince makes the essentials every guy needs, Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, Italian wool coats that look and feel designer, and denim and chinos that fit just right. Their outerwear lineup is no joke, guys. You have to go check it out. Each piece is made from premium materials by trusted factories that meet rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. By cutting out the middleman and traditional markup, Quince delivers the same quality as luxury brands at a fraction of the price. It's everything you actually want to wear, built to hold up season after season. Guys, the down jacket I picked up from Quince is getting me through the cold winter when I go up north to visit my family. I also got an awesome vest that I like to wear down here in Florida when the weather gets colder as well. It looks super expensive and designer, but again, it's a fraction of the price. Guys, get your wardrobe sorted and your gift list handled this holiday season with Quince. Don't wait. Go to Quince.com/crypto101 for free shipping on your orders and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's Quince, Quince.com/crypto101. You'll get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/crypto101. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. You know, when we're looking at this, I think I have a pretty good idea of why sentiment isn't as bullish as it was the last time we were at all-time highs. Number one, it was the first time we were doing it, right? It's the first time that we were pushing up through $100,000. That was our first introduction to this level. That was all-time highs. Now we've gone through about 6 months of consolidation almost, and we're retesting this level. So people are like, they're nervous. You know, are we going to have to go through that whole cycle again? Are we going to have another 6 months of consolidation? Are we going to be able to break this time? And I think the second half of that, beyond just people, you know, already having their emotions out being to this level, you know, 6 months ago, I think the second part of this is altcoins, right? Bitcoin's pushing all-time highs, but why isn't Solana? Why isn't Ethereum? Why isn't Sui? Why isn't XRP? Why isn't my favorite altcoin pushing the all-time highs? And I think that's the second half of this, is people want to see the altcoin market rally. Now, as we've mentioned in previous weeks, Devo, I think that the markets becoming more friendly to risk on investors is a really positive thing for altcoins. And so as I throw up the chart here, we can already see that, you know, Bitcoin dominance, it was dropping. And I believe that was something that we talked about. But now what we're seeing is that it's back on the rise over here. So as we look at this, you know, Bitcoin pushing up into the highs, but we're not seeing this with a lot of other altcoins, right? We look at Ethereum, for example. This isn't really pushing to the all-time highs. You know, XRP, not quite doing it. We look at Sui doing well, but again, not quite there either. And so when we go and we look at Bitcoin dominance, this was falling as altcoins were rallying, but now it's pushing back up. And we've said this a lot, but Bitcoin dominance historically gets back up to around 70% before it tops out. This is what we see happen every 4 years in correlation with the halving. We saw this happen in 2017. We saw this happen in 2021. And we hopefully are going to see that happen again here in 2025. Now, the big argument that, you know, we've theorized is that Bitcoin, or rather altcoins, have matured so much that it's unlikely we'll get back to a full 70%+ dominance and we top out somewhere right below here. I think that's a possibility as well. I think regardless of which way you look at it, of are we going to reach this or are we going to come short, we're really close to that mark. And we're already starting to see altcoins warm up a lot more recently than they have in, you know, the nice little past. So when we go back to Bitcoin and we're just looking at Bitcoin here, I think Bitcoin is going to imminently hit new all-time highs. This is something that could happen by the end of today. This is something that could happen by the end of this month, right? We only have a little over a week left here in the month. I could see us hitting new all-time highs before this month is over. But again, if we hit it today, I wouldn't even be surprised. I mean, we are squeezing to the upside. You see Bitcoin having these higher highs, higher lows, and it's repeating the same patterns that we've seen over and over again, where it moves up, flags to the 20-day moving average, moves up, flags to the 20-day moving average, moves up, flags to the 20-day moving average. And now it's really squeezing up into the upside, making it look like it wants to shatter this all-time high, press through $110,000. And I think that that would be something that really gets altcoins moving once again, and that could stir the pot and make things a lot more interesting. So something to definitely keep an eye out for as we head into the final part of this month. And even on the day here, I mean, altcoins are moving. If we want to sort by the highest winners, Grass is up 9%, Cpool's up 7.5%, Pepe really starting to run as Ethereum's getting a lot more attention, Pengu, Jupiter, Fetch, Fartcoin still being a pretty big performer. So overall, crypto market is vastly green on the day. There's only a few red projects. And these red projects that we're seeing are ones that have been already running recently. Like Aave, seen a huge run to the upside recently, cooling off. Syrup, same thing. Giant move to the upside, it's a little bit red on the day. But that's only because it has seen so much upside here recently. So overall, Tiavo, I mean, Bitcoin's really pressing up. I know we've talked about it back and forth, but this does feel like the final push. And maybe there should be a little bit more excitement. I know that strictly in the Bitcoin community, there is a lot of excitement. There's a lot of people that are just convinced. But, you know, as we're going to show here in just a second, the price is being pushed up by so many different catalysts. And the catalysts are massive, you know, borderline unfathomable. So we'll get into those. But any final thoughts here, Tiavo, before we move on?
I'm excited. I'm traveling this weekend, doing some work with some friends and some bands over the weekend, and they always get excited, or they have been. It was like the local top. I don't know if you remember last year we did the, I had the clip, and this band that I knew, they chanted with me like Bitcoin before they went on stage, and that was a local top for the new all-time high last year. And then we all met again. We were out in Hawaii earlier this year, and Bitcoin and crypto was the talk, and some people that were longtime non-believers started telling me that they had Bitcoin and Solana, and they were very bullish all of a sudden. And I kind of came back home like, ah, crap, here's another top signal. So I'm actually excited to be getting together with them. I think they're a good test case for me for I'll bring it up in conversation and see like who's excited, who's not. And I think that could be a small little sample size of maybe who got shaken out, and just kind of, again, small sample size of retail sentiment. So I'm excited to see that. But if you're in the trenches and you're listening every single week to this show, you know that we're bullish, and there's so much bullish news around the industry that, you know, that's what keeps our conviction. And so we can kind of transition into some of that news. So Brendan, this week, the Genius Act. Now, I know me and you aren't political experts. I did take Poli Sci 108 at the University of Delaware, which is world politics. So I do know that in the Senate, there's a key procedural vote, which is a vote to make a real vote. So you have to vote on whether you're allowed to vote for real.
Kind of silly.
Which is, yeah, kind of silly. But the Genius Act passed the procedural vote yesterday, 66-32. So it officially advances to the Senate floor. And so the Genius Act is heavily around stablecoins. It's a stablecoin bill. And there's a lot of, obviously, people that are for it. Senator Loomis and kind of that crypto, the crypto core in the Senate has kind of been leading the charge there with a number of others. Obviously, there's a lot of opposers like Elizabeth Warren and her crypto army. Actually, if I pull that up, there was a great screenshot of Elizabeth Warren on the Senate floor.
I saw this.
Just yeah, she was
the Karen pose. Is that what this is?
Yeah, it was the I'm gonna bring it up right here. It was the please let me speak to the manager pose, as I coined it on our X. If this would just get out of here, there we go. Hall of Fame. Can I speak to the manager stance there from Liz Warren as she's watching the Genius Act get pushed onto the Senate floor. So something to watch. I did pull a clip here for the people that aren't as familiar of the details of the Genius Act. Here's Senator Bill Hagerty. If I share this screen, share this tab instead. Discussing the Genius Act. So let's take a listen here to Senator Bill Hagerty.
Certainly, it puts our financial system and our payment system more specifically into the modern times. What we rely upon today was designed in the 70s and 80s. This is a chance to completely modernize our payment system to make sure that the innovation that's happening around the entire industry stays here in America. And importantly, Stuart, because the stablecoin is dollar denominated, that will perpetuate the dollar's position, dollar's dominance as the reserve currency of the world. And it will also increase demand for treasury bills here in America, which is a good thing as well.
Can you explain that? I need to explain that. Why would it increase demand for treasury securities, treasury bills and bonds?
Because the stablecoin legislation requires that each dollar stablecoin be backed fully by either a dollar in cash or short-term treasuries. To do that, the stablecoin issuer has to go and purchase short-term treasuries. Already, stablecoin issuers are large owners of treasuries, and by 2030, Citi projects that stablecoin issuers will be the largest owner of U.S. treasuries in the world. Certainly, it puts our financial...
So very cool breakdown there from Bill. Obviously, the supporters of the bill believe in the technology and moving into the future for our payment system. And I think that's a good point about the treasuries. It's basically, you know, a lot of the naysayers will say that, you know, this is a threat to the U.S. dollar and crypto is going to, you know, all that stuff. And it's actually what it's really doing is unlocking the U.S. dollar and kind of giving it the ability to digitize it worldwide via the blockchain. So exciting stuff, and we're going to watch it for you, and if it gets passed, that would be great. Maybe I was trying to think if I could get an inland to some senators that might be voting on this bill to see if we can get them on the pod maybe after. So something I'll try and do for us, but yeah, it would be. I'm going to try. I might have, you know, TiVo pulls some stuff out of the magic hat sometimes. So I'm going to see if I can call on a friend to maybe connect us with somebody. So we'll see. But,
well,
again, a lot of bullishness in DC and a lot of bullishness elsewhere. So I'll toss it to you for our next topic.
Yeah, I mean, before we leave this topic, I think they made a good point of when you look at these stable coins, they back their value. They're not just a crypto out there that's just saying, hey, we're going to hopefully stay pegged to a dollar. They're backed, you know, one-to-one by different forms of collateral. And a big part of that is U.S. treasuries. And so what they want to do here is they want to adopt more stablecoin legislator. And what this would do is this could increase, and I've seen analysts talk about this, there's no definite number, but there's talks that this could increase the stablecoin market cap significantly by potentially trillions of dollars. Well, if the stablecoin market cap increases by trillions of dollars, what that means is that they have to buy a lot more treasuries and stuff like that and bonds in the background of the U.S. dollar. This strengthens the dollar. It also strengthens the crypto market. And if you see trillions of dollars in stablecoin market cap get added, again, that benefits the dollar. But if you're seeing that same kind of market cap increase on the stablecoin side, it would most likely have a huge impact on the cryptocurrency side, right? So you're not going to see the stablecoin market cap rise by $1 trillion or $2 trillion and Bitcoin go unaffected and cryptocurrency go unaffected. No, you'd see a drastic price impact most likely upwards in cryptocurrencies prices around the board for both Bitcoin and altcoins. So this is one of those things where historically we've seen the DXY and the strength of the dollar and some of the yields like work inversely against Bitcoin. And this could be something that changes that where it's saying, hey, no, we're going to have a strong dollar and we're also going to have a strong crypto market. And the two can work alongside like in coexistence with one another. So that's the big benefit here. It's like it could be one of those situations where it's just a win-win. And if we get this through, again, it could be just have massive implications on the crypto market. We could see trillions of more dollars flood into the crypto market. And you know if that's happening on the stablecoin side, there is going to be a trickle effect over into large caps and even mid caps and small caps. And all of that is going to be affected by this. So it's a big deal.
Yeah, and I know I've heard you and Bryce talk about how the outcome of this is actually super important to study. It's like you can kind of guess and see, but once it's voted on, if it passes and it's signed into law, like there's probably going to be some winners and losers, especially in the stablecoin market, and that will affect some altcoins. So, you know, obviously stay here to stay apprised week to week. And then also if you're in the community, that's definitely where you're going to hear that stuff first on our, you know, weekly coaching calls and altcoin alert calls and all that stuff. So if you're interested and you feel like now's the time to be getting more involved with us as we approach all-time highs, check out the links below. But if not, we're here week to week as well to deliver you the news.
Well, speaking of people buying more Bitcoin, we're seeing a lot of people buy more, not just Bitcoin, but also MicroStrategy. And so what we saw here is, we'll put it up on the screen, MicroStrategy is buying more Bitcoin. And look at this buy order. I'm just taking a second to load on my end. But it says Strategy has acquired 7,390 Bitcoin for around $765 million at an average price of $103,500 per Bitcoin. It's a big deal. They continue to increase their holdings. That's a huge buy order. They very clearly want to keep up with what BlackRock is doing and their inflows. And so MicroStrategy not slowing down, having big old buy orders. Again, they firmly believe the price action is going a lot higher than this, but they're not the only ones doing this. And so they're so convinced, they've created such a good track record, that all of these other companies are trying to copy the Strategy approach, where they just accumulate Bitcoin. You know, up, down, sideways, doesn't matter. We talked, I think, a week or two ago about Jack Mahler saying he was going to do this. Metaplanet has copied that strategy. A lot of other people out there have copied a very similar strategy to what Michael Saylor has been doing with Bitcoin. And now we're even seeing that sovereigns and different governments around the world, even our own government, is trying to create a very similar strategy and copy what Michael Saylor has been doing. So we have this cool little chart here that talks a little bit more about it. And it comes out from a very big popular bank called Standard Chartered. Now, they've said that their price target for Bitcoin is $500,000 by 2029. And they're using this as proof, saying, hey, we're still keeping our $500,000 price prediction in the next 4 years. And that is just being justified. It's being validated by this new information. So we have it on the screen for everyone that's watching on YouTube. If you're not watching on YouTube and you're coming from Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Audible or anywhere else, you got to go over to our YouTube channel to see the visuals on the screen, which is going to be the Crypto 101 podcast over on YouTube. But, you know, back to the image that we have here, the headline says it all. I mean, Standard Chartered says that sovereigns are getting indirect exposure to Bitcoin via MicroStrategy, and this is a growing trend. This is backing their $500,000 price target. And if we scroll down just a little bit here, there's going to be a chart here. And this shows new companies and existing entities that are accumulating Bitcoin. So let's look at this. And again, it's not just Bitcoin, it's MicroStrategy. And I'll explain the significance of that in just a moment. But here we have Abu Dhabi getting exposure through the ETFs here recently. We have Sweden, France, New York, all right, the state of New York, the state of Wisconsin, Norway, South Korea, Saudi Arabia, the state of North Carolina, the state of Michigan, Switzerland, Liechtenstein, the state of California, and the state of Kentucky. Now, there's some new buyers on here. I believe France is one of the new buyers as well. But this is a big deal. And obviously, this isn't including every entity, every country that's on the list. We know that El Salvador has been a big player and a lot of these other countries as well. But this is just saying, hey, like, look at some of these entities that are holding the Bitcoin ETFs, Bitcoin itself, or even MicroStrategy now, which is a pretty big deal. And you see that this number is growing. You can see what was happening back in 2023, 2024. Now you can see what's happening in 2025. And essentially, they're all increasing exposure. So this is a really big deal. They're loading up on Bitcoin. And it's reached the point now where they're saying, we want exposure to this so bad, we can only get our hands on so much. And these entities and these countries are basically saying, how else can we get exposure to this? And they're saying, well, MicroStrategy, that's a way that we could get exposure to Bitcoin. And so now they're going from just having a Bitcoin-focused approach to getting secondary exposure through MicroStrategy. So if that doesn't tell you that they're bullish, and historically, MicroStrategy is like a levered Bitcoin, right, TiVo? I mean, it works, I think, at 2x the volatility of Bitcoin. And they're almost getting levered up in a sense. They're making a huge bet here that Bitcoin can do some great things.
Yeah, I got 2 points, actually. One's on this chart, and then I got a curveball for you. I think the most interesting thing in this chart is the, I guess we'll call it a beigeish green for Abu Dhabi. Look at that in the last 2 years. I mean, you see the 2023 through 2024, nothing until Q4 2024. Abu Dhabi all of a sudden becomes the second largest holder, and then they, you know, increased a little bit in Q1 2025. Qatar and that side of the universe seems to be really trying to do business with the Trump administration. There was a big business summit last week, and a ton of the top CEOs were there, which was interesting. I wonder if Bitcoin was discussed at all in the back rooms, maybe, who knows. But, you know, that's one of the richest nations in the world who is seemingly trying to diversify a little bit from their oil, right? Like, obviously, oil is not going anywhere in the foreseeable future, but long term, 100 years, you know, is electricity taking over? What's AI doing? And I think the big thing for kind of the Saudis and Abu Dhabi and all that, the oil royalty, if you will, is they want to diversify a little bit. They want to get into AI, and seemingly now they want to get into Bitcoin, which is exciting. So here's a curveball for you, Brent. I saw this yesterday, just kind of get posted. So kind of building off that, you know, for the nation states, what about individuals? So Bitcoin in America, more Americans now own more Bitcoin than gold. So Bitcoin is becoming America's favorite asset reserve. We have 37 million Americans own gold, while 50 million Americans own Bitcoin. And my take on that would be obviously probably the $37 million Americans that own gold, obviously in the older demographic, probably have more money in gold than the 50 million in Americans that own Bitcoin, because I believe that 50 million Americans that own Bitcoin would be a younger age, right? Like us, maybe a little bit older. And, you know, obviously there's some people I'm sure in their 50s and 60s that are getting on the train as well. But I think this stat is really interesting to show that more people own it in a less dollar amount. But then as these people grow older, there's going to be the wealth transfer that happens from boomers to the next generation. And then also just as people work and scale and grow their careers and make more money, they're going to have more money to invest. So I thought this was a really interesting stat as well to kind of build off the who's buying Bitcoin.
Yeah, and it makes sense, right? Bitcoin has always been looked at as, it's always been called like digital gold, right? And we're living in an increasingly more digital world every single day. So when we look at this, it's easier to get your hands on. It is virtual. And that is just kind of the theme of today's society. And that's the trend where we're moving towards. So I think that as these, you know, the older community retires, as the money gets transferred down to younger generations, I think that gold is always going to be around, right? I'm a metals investor. I like metals. I have exposure to metals. But I think it's hard to argue that Bitcoin won't take a little bit of gold's market share because we're just moving into a digital age. It's easier to get your hands on. And it's this digital asset that's seeing mass adoption. So I think that it will acquire some of gold's market share. And that's not a bad thing. Again, I like both. I have exposure to both. But it's hard to argue that that won't happen. And I think that that trend will continue. And so when you look at gold, you know, if I were to walk up to a random person on the street and, you know, actually, now that I think about this, maybe if I asked him, you know, if you could go buy gold or Bitcoin, you know, how would you do each one? And maybe people would have a harder time. I don't know, actually. I think that the barrier to buying Bitcoin is so easy now. It's like you open up a Robinhood account. You open up a Coinbase account. You open up any brokerage now except for Schwab. Schwab is the only brokerage in the world. So it's like you could tell someone.
Vanguard.
Or, yeah, I'm sorry. Vanguard, you're right. But, you know, they're like the only brokerage left that doesn't offer this. So I still think you ask any person on the street, you know, could you buy Bitcoin right now? It's not like, would you, but could you? And they could do it within 30 seconds, right? They open up their phone, make a swipe, boom, they bought Bitcoin. Gold, very different process. So yeah, we could see this trend continue, TiVo, and I wouldn't be too surprised over there.
SalesApe, the AI sales rep built to give small businesses the unfair advantage of closing more deals. If you generate over 50 leads a month but can't reply instantly, you lose deals. SalesApe will be your hidden superpower. Used by hundreds of real estate agents, construction companies, and service providers, and backed with $20 million from top investors. SalesApe is doubling sales for hundreds of businesses just like you. Your own AI agent instantly qualifies inbound leads, engages high-intent buyers, and books appointments 24/7, even when your team's off the clock. More sales, less overhead. Sales on autopilot. Go to salesape.ai/podcast to try their free demo. Again, that's salesape.ai/podcast for a free demo.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, and another platform that you can open up and just buy Bitcoin is eToro. eToro just went public, and I pulled some stats. They have a very high percentage of revenue coming from crypto trading, and they have a lot. I believe it's above the 80% of their revenue is in kind of the crypto space, which is interesting. And a friend of the program, Galaxy Digital, went IPO'd this week as well. And I'm planning to try to get some Galaxy people in the coming months for our next summit and just for another pod to kind of tell us about that and their vision for the future as well. So you're starting to see all these, you know, brokerages and crypto companies, hit the stock market with these IPOs, and it's showcasing kind of that, whether you want direct exposure, whether you want levered MicroStrategy 2X, which we talked about, or whether you want to bet on, I know we've covered Robinhood kind of nonstop, but it's been a story. Like, it's just a rocket ship, right? It's a rocket ship. We love it. And eToro now and Galaxy. So kind of building off that point is a tweet from, again, friend of the program, somebody we are also, I kind of save the best for, we try to get the best of the program on twice a year, call it, or when big things are happening. So Matt Hogan here, friend of the program, again, going to work on getting Matt to come back this summer for another interview. But he was always kind of saying, like, hey, just wait for that. And this was a thing a lot of people are saying, wait till the institutions do 1%. Eventually, all these institutions are going to want 1% allocation. So Matt's been traveling. He's been doing the conference circuit all spring. And he's saying the big unlock is happening, and 5% is going to be the new 1%. And I think, I guess kind of why I put it in this segment was that makes sense, because look at all the opportunity for exposure that's popping out of the grass here with all the new IPOs, with all the ones that have been around, like the Coinbase going into the S&P 500, Hood's on an absolute tear. It's like 60% in the last 2 months. Institutions want the exposure. It doesn't feel like it's a 1%. It feels like not only is the exposure for Bitcoin as an asset going to go up, but they might have some they might have some holds against being able to invest in the ETFs because they're so new still, right? Like just over a year old. So that time has come maybe for them to be able to start dipping their toes into that. But the price action on these levered plays to the crypto industry is showing you that the interest is there. So I thought this was a good tweet to bring up.
Well, I sure hope that 5% is the new 1%, because I think it was BlackRock that said if there's 5% Bitcoin exposure, that pushes it almost to like somewhere between $700 to $1 million. And that's a realistic price target if we do get 5% institutional allocation. So if 5% is the new 1%, Tivo, we got a lot we got a lot farther to go than just 100K, if that's the case. We got a lot farther to go than just all-time highs. And, you know, JP Morgan knows this as well. They've taken this interesting stance where, for the most part, JP Morgan has actually been pretty pro-crypto, pro-blockchain technology. But Jamie Dimon, right, their leader, their CEO, has taken a stance against Bitcoin for a long time. Well, it looks like, you know, they're finally just fully coming around to the idea. I believe Jamie came out the other day and said, hey, enough's enough. We're going to allow our customers to buy Bitcoin. And that's a big deal. So I think we have a clip for this.
Bitcoin, right? Could you offer that?
I personally, you know, when I look at the Bitcoin universe, the leverage in the system, the misuse of the system, the AML, the BSA, the KYC, the sex trafficking, the terrorism, I am not a fan of it. We are going to allow you to buy it, and we're not going to custody it. We're going to put it on statements for clients. So, you know, I don't think you should smoke, but I defend your right to smoke. I defend your right to buy Bitcoin. Go at it.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, the best summary for a quote like that, after all the not a fan of it, it's awful, it's a pet rock, it's useless, is just kind of the simple comparison to hotels hated Airbnbs. The traditional taxi cab industry, especially in New York City with the medallion buying, taxi cabs hated Uber and didn't like it. And the banking system doesn't like Bitcoin. I mean, it's pretty easy to kind of draw the comparison with that that statement I just made. So I think it's a seminal day for JP Morgan customers because you're able to go buy Bitcoin. I mean, one of the most outspoken critics against Bitcoin at a high level has finally opened the floodgates, said, hey, you buy what you want. So I think that's actually, it's crazy to think that Vanguard is still holding strong. Somebody in our comments on YouTube was being like, why, you know, Vanguard, it's smart that they're not letting their customers do it to protect them against, you know, Bitcoin. I just commented back. I was like, you can buy MicroStrategy on Vanguard. It's like, okay, it's like you can't buy Bitcoin, but we'll let you buy the 2x levered. It's like, that doesn't make sense. And then the second thing was the SPACs. Like, you could buy any SPAC on Vanguard during the SPAC craze 2 or 3 years ago. I remember I had a little Vanguard account. I bought a crap SPAC. It was one of my buddies did like a workout routine. He was an actor on one of the, you know, take home DVD workout. We won't mention the actual brand, but like, I was like, oh, my buddy's like in this, he's crushing it. Like, I'll invest in the SPAC, you know, a little nugget to ride with my boy. And then the SPAC went to zero. So like, thanks Vanguard. Thanks for protecting me against this crap SPAC, but you won't let me buy a little Bitcoin, where if you bought Bitcoin back then, it would have 2 or 3x'd. So I don't understand who's protecting who.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's silly. There's far riskier assets that they offer than Bitcoin, right? When you look at Bitcoin, a $2 trillion market cap already adopted by JP Morgan, Charles Schwab, Fidelity, BlackRock, you know, universally accepted at this point. All the big asset managers have exposure to it. And they're like, oh, it's just too risky. But yeah, I mean, Tivo, if you want to go buy a SPAC, if you want to go buy it at 2x leverage, by all means, it's silly. But again, I won't rant about it. They'll come around eventually. They'll be forced to, or else they're going to lose out on a lot of profits. And that's what all these other institutions are learning.
Yeah. But, you know what else? You would have missed out on a lot of profits if you didn't buy Hood when we talked about it at $8. So Robinhood's got some exciting news, Brendan, that I know you're fired up about.
Oh, I mean, every single week we come back and we're not even doing it. Like, obviously we like Robinhood over here. We've talked to them. We've had their team on the podcast and on the network multiple times, right? So we like them, but they continue to perform, and we like them because they continue to do stuff like this. I mean, they've made crypto such an integral part of their business, and I feel like every week they're coming back with a new acquisition, a new headline, a new feature, a new something. And this week they're coming back saying, hey, we're going to be proposing to the SEC rules for tokenized real-world assets. And this is a big deal. I mean, people have labeled this, you know, not only a multi-trillion dollar industry. I've seen people said that this could be a $30 trillion industry waiting to be unlocked. Now, that's a big number. Is it really going to unlock all that capital? Probably not. But the point here is that they want to dive into the tokenization in the RWA, or the real world assets industry, inside of cryptocurrency. And they want to tokenize all these real world assets. This could be equities, this could be real estate, this could be metals, this could be bonds, this could be artwork. Like, right, there's so many different things that they could tokenize, but they want to tokenize what we call real world assets, or all these TradFi assets, or even just like actual physical items. They want to tokenize those and then bring them on as a tokenized product to their services. Now, this is a big deal, because what if you tokenize these really rare items, these really high ticket items? Think about it this way. What if you could buy into a piece of artwork, right? What if that was fractionalized into 100,000 shares and you could buy however many shares of it as you wanted? What if there was a piece of real estate where you're like, man, this would be a killer piece of real estate, but I can't afford to pay $1 million for it? Well, what if it was broken up into 10,000 shares and then you could buy shares of that piece of real estate? What if you could buy shares of anything, right? And so that's the goal of this. And I think this is right up Robinhood's alley. We've seen what they've done with fractionalized stock shares. We've seen what they've done with 24/5 trading. We've seen what they've done with adding in new betting features. There's all these different, I guess you could call it, forms of investing and trading that they've added. This seems like it's the next logical step for them. And yeah, you have it on screen right now. They're calling this a $30 trillion market that could be on-chain and unlocked. And again, this is made possible because of blockchain tech. This is made possible because of the crypto industry that we've created. And there's a handful of RWA and tokenization tokens out there that could maybe assist with this. But you got to believe that if we start to see this happening, it would be a big deal. I know that I've seen Bank of America write reports on this. I've seen Citibank. I've seen JP Morgan, BlackRock. BlackRock already has a tokenized fund. And then I think VanEck has one on Solana, I believe. And so there's all these other names that are looking into this as well. And Robinhood wants to make it happen. So big news out there, definitely something to keep an eye on. And it's pretty exciting. Yeah. I hope we do see it.
I think, yeah, it's very exciting. I think that Robinhood's obviously led the charge, but you had, you know, the eToros of the world. We've had JJ, you interviewed JJ from Tasty Trade. Yeah. Actually, that was for the summit. So if you missed the summit, that's a shame, because we have an amazing guest there every time. But don't worry, I'm bringing JJ back for a full length interview to talk about Tasty Trade and everything he's working on over there. But there's all these fintech kind of leading off the backs of crypto, if you will, of really just changing the finance game. And the old guards obviously have their place. Your Goldman Sachs, your JP Morgan's, Wells Fargo's, yeah, Vanguard's. They're the old guards, and if they're not going to innovate, you're going to get passed. And I think Robinhood's really leading the charge there. I know they're going to be launching this fall their personal private banking sector. And like, again, this is just kind of me thinking outside the box, but like, how cool would it be if they have a great private banking instead of having it in your checking and savings account where you're earning like 0.5%. You know, Robinhood, I think, is going to try and give you a real banking that you can do, pay your bills and be active in. And it's going to be like 3-4%, probably going to fluctuate with rates, but try to give you some real, you know, earning for the money that's sitting in the bank account. And then if they get to tokenize these assets, what if you get your, what if Robinhood just becomes like this all-inclusive You know, your mortgage is tokenized on the exchange, and like, oh, dude, you can pay your mortgage with Bitcoin, and you can pay it directly with Bitcoin without selling it and getting a capital gains tax. Like, the possibilities are endless. Yeah. With a little bit of legislation, which we've talked about in the beginning of the show, going in the right direction, and then the innovation, which these new fintech companies are trying to do. It really is an exciting time to kind of be in the space, because the possibilities are endless.
Yeah. It is. It is, man. I was just thinking to my mind, I was like, this sounds great. And someone in the YouTube comments said there needs to be a little bit more structure before we get into this. And I don't completely disagree with that. My brain was like, man, if you could do all this from Robinhood, I could just imagine someone being like, oh man, my rent or my mortgage payment's coming up. Gotta get levered up here, getting into like a 1 week expiration, like options trade, and being like, boom, I either made my mortgage payment or I owe double this month. And yeah, there's probably like workarounds around that. But
yeah, let's do a little roll call now that you mentioned that. The YouTube chat is on fire, which is a good sign, because I think that means that, again, we're close to breaking out to all-time highs. A lot of people are coming back. I see some new faces. So this is the most active chat I think we've ever had, Brendan. So let's do a little roll call. We've got Discovering Florida. We've got Trinity. We've got Tyler Fitzpatrick. We've got Miguel. We've got Dave. One more. Aaron Riley. We'll just call that Riley. What's up, Riley? And Baylor Bear. Just absolute active chat, folks. So if you're not on the YouTube, you got to check it out. The community obviously has been building, and we appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys in the chat. We had some questions. We might circle back to those at the end. But yeah, put your questions in the chat, and we appreciate you guys being here.
Yeah, 100%. Like Tiva said, well, you know that you could spend your time anywhere. You probably have a lot going on. So we always appreciate everyone tuning in, watching the episode, commenting, staying a part of this. And we do this, again, completely for free every single week. We try to do them at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And we hope that you all enjoy them, whether you are watching live or whether you're coming back at a later time and you're watching this back. It's good to have you here. So as we kind of bring this to a close, we got two more things that we want to talk about. One, more like news event, and then we have a really big announcement here at the end, which we want to talk about. So Tebow, I mean, let's get into the Coinbase data breach. This was a big deal, and what happened was a group of bad actors essentially compromised some overseas support agent or several overseas support agents. And those support agents, those team members overseas, had access to sensitive data, sensitive information. And so this group, they're calling them hackers, but I don't really know if that's the correct terminology, because they didn't like get in the Coinbase's servers and like hack it. They just kind of finagled their way in through probably bribing members, but we'll just call them hackers, right? But these hackers essentially got access to these compromised individuals, and they gave them a bunch of this information. So they reached out to Coinbase and they said, hey, unless you pay us $20 million, we're going to like leak this information. We're going to, you know, like attack these people's finances. We're going to do bad things. Coinbase came out and said, or the CEO of Coinbase came out and said, we're actually going to put a $20 million bounty on the info of the attackers. So they said, we're not going to pay you, and we're actually going to put a bounty on you guys for anyone that gives us info about you and leads to your arrest and you being tried for this. So people were like, well, what kind of information was lost here? And what information did these, you know, overseas support agents have? And that's where it started to get a little bit concerning. And I had this pulled up on the side here. I don't think I can show it on the screen, but I can just kind of walk through this with everyone, because it is at least worse than I thought. So they had everyone's name, address, phone number, email, the last four digits of your social security number, masked bank account numbers, and some bank account identifiers, government IDs, things like driver's license and passports. They had your account data, which is balance snapshots in your transaction histories. And also they had limited corporate data, including documents, training material, and some other data points through that. And so the response here online has been, why in the world does any kind of support agent have access to this kind of sensitive stuff, right? My driver's license, my passport, the last four of my social, my account information, my name, my address, my phone number, my email. Like, why do they have access to all of that in the first place? And I think that they make a good point. Why do these people have access to that in the first place, right? There has to be a better process in place where you can verify your sensitive and private data before you get onto a call with a support agent. And I think, again, the risk is elevated once you outsource this. And they're doing this because it's cheaper, right? They're saying, oh, well, you know, we're going to outsource overseas, which is fine. But they're doing it because it's cheaper and they're being more careless with people's financial and personal data. And so people are like, "What Coinbase, what in the world are you guys doing?" And it's pretty frustrating to see them do it for, you know, corporate earnings and for their own benefit, and then at the cost of our expense. So again, they came out and they handled it, you know, pretty well, but it begs the question, and I like Coinbase. I use them. I'm not going to stop using them, but I think that this should be a huge wake-up call because this can turn into something so much worse. And if you give people access to all of that, the likelihood that people can get into their users' accounts is substantially higher. If they already have your name, your address, your phone number, your email, the last four of your social, they have your driver's license, they have your passport, they have your account data. If they have all of this, basically everything except for your password and maybe your two-factor authentication, if you have that enabled, the odds of them getting into your account are so much higher. And so people are like, why in the world was this made available in the first place? Coinbase never really answered this question. They just beat around the bush. Now, they did say that anyone that was harmed by this, they're going to compensate fully, which I respect. I think they handled it well by, you know, not giving in to the hackers' demands and stuff like that. But nonetheless, it's a frustrating experience because, again, you're looking at this and you're like, well, this should have been preventable. It should have been something that never happened in the first place. And it also could have turned out a lot worse. So, at the end of the, it's not the end of the world, right? It's not the end of the world. It's just a frustrating experience seeing as what most people would look at as the most trusted, safest custodian in crypto doing something so careless, doing something so reckless. And I think that's where the frustration comes from here. But again, you know, for the most part, you know, really the net takeaway from this is like nothing too bad actually has happened. But you know, that's not to say that something bad can't happen with this information, you know, a year down the line, 5 years down the line, right? You know, we don't know what the effects of this are going to be in the distant future. And so, I don't know, just a little bit of uncertainty. If you can't tell, you know, it's a little bit frustrating for someone like me. Again, I look at them and I think that they are the safest. They are the best. And then they do something like this and you're like, well, what the heck?
Yeah, man. Great rant. I really don't have anything to add. It was sad. Bad timing. Just got announced in the S&P 500. You go out, you know, Brian Armstrong, great quote being, you know, hey, crypto is now a part of everyone's 401k, which is a fact because the general flows from the S&P 500, a lot of people's 401ks. And then, you know, a week later, this comes out. Obviously, it's something that they were aware of, you know, before and trying to, you know, do their PR and whatnot. Let's just be better. You know, we got to be better. We got to be better. And we love Coinbase. We want them to do well, and they're a steward and a leader. And it's just, yeah, it's got to be better. But I don't have anything to add other than that. You crushed it. Let's we'll flip it. Obviously, some more positive. Here's another curveball for us. So I see this was actually a question from the chat from our friend from Florida, throwing this one out there. Ripple and Coinbase seem to be maybe getting involved in a little bit of a bidding war for Circle, or the other option for Circle is an IPO, like we talked about earlier. So I'm not sure if you've seen anything about this. I saw the reports. I haven't really dug into it, but I did see that it looks like Circle, before they go down the IPO route, is maybe pinning these guys up for a little bidding war. Do you have any take on that?
A huge take on this. You know, I was kind of hoping that they would go public personally, especially with all of this stablecoin regulation happening right now, as we talked about at the beginning of the episode. I was kind of hoping that they would go public because I would see this as a phenomenal way to get exposure to stablecoins and the stablecoin industry through the Genius Act, right? So I was hoping that they'd IPO, because you can't go and like buy stable coins and gain value from them, right? They're stable. They're going to stay at the same price. They're going to stay at a dollar. So I was looking at this of like, oh, well, if there's a stock that runs like one of the world's largest, most successful stable coins, I could get exposure to that. So I think Coinbase, it makes sense if they buy Circle. I don't think it makes sense if XRP or Ripple buys them. Yeah, I don't know. Probably mixed opinions out there. Some people are going to listen and be like, what the heck? Why? And yeah, I don't know. I just think that they... it just doesn't make as much sense to me. So who knows? It could be a good... I don't think it'd be like a bad thing either way. But I do think that Coinbase would be more well-equipped to do this and manage it. And I think that they have a much more robust network that's just very well-rounded, because they do all these different aspects of business. They also have some really big connections. And they're a little bit more of a global presence than Ripple is. But we'll see. Again, I kind of hope that neither of these parties get it. Just because I want to see the IPO go live so I can get more like exposure to the stablecoin space if a lot of these bills go through. And I think, you know, it'd be a good way to get solidified exposure. Because, right, I mean, if you're going and you're getting exposure to Coinbase, right? Say you're buying the Coinbase stock. Well, then you also have to get exposure to the current state of the crypto market, the current health of it. Is Coinbase doing well? Are they making stupid PR moves or like they're doing right now? You know, is there good? There are all these other catalysts that you have to worry about. So I don't know. That's my rant.
No, I totally agree with you. It'd be nice to get some exposure that way instead of worried about getting wrapped up in the entire Coinbase exposure, which you'd kind of want for, I guess, a different reason. All right, we got two more topics, Brendan. One you know about, one you don't. But let's hit the one you know about. So we have a big announcement for the Crypto 101 podcast family. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, how Trump was having a crypto dinner for the top holders of the Trump meme coin. And we are shocking. You know, I know it was shocking for us to learn, but super, super excited that our very own fearless leader, Bryce Paul, is on his way to Washington, D.C. as you're listening to this, as we're recording this, to go attend the dinner. So it's the top, was it 225 holders of the Trump token. And again, this is not financial advice to go buy this token at all. You know, I know me and you aren't entirely sure, you know, how this came about and the trade strategy Bryce was using to do this. So this is not as a disclaimer, do not go out and run and buy the Trump token. That's not what this is about. It's about informing you that Bryce is on his way to attend the dinner with the president. It'll be Thursday night. Obviously, there's going to be a ton of crypto legislators there from DC. There's going to be a ton of whales. There's going to be a ton of crypto who's who's going to be there. And Crypto 101 will be there as Bryce will be representing us. So I know we're both super fired up to hear about that. I can't wait to hear what he learns, who's speaking. You know, there's probably going to be, you know, he's a showman, right? Trump's a showman. He's going to, hopefully there's some surprise announcements. And just more importantly, I think for us in the show and for Bryce is like, who's he going to meet? You know, maybe we can get some awesome people on the pod. There's obviously going to be a ton of cool stuff inside the community as well for the inside scoop of what went on there, but just a super exciting time for the team. For us to be included in such an exclusive event.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that is, it's going to be huge. We were looking at this and we were joking about it, I think like 2 weeks ago, Tebow. And we were like, oh, could you imagine going to the dinner with Trump and this and that? And it's got to be so hard to get into. And then out of left field, our team informs us of like, hey, you know, we're actually going to this. We're going to the dinner with Trump through Bryce. And it's a big deal. So it's a huge step for not only, you know, us, I guess, as a company, but we're excited for Bryce. He's the perfect man for the job. He's going to meet 100%. Some really great connections. And he's going to have a full report coming out on this as well. So if you're not subscribed, if you're not part of the newsletter, if you're not part of any of this, make sure you get on the email list, because he's going to be putting out specific videos, and he's going to be talking about exactly what happened behind these closed doors, because I believe it's a no camera event, right? So you're not going to be able to like whip out and film and take pictures and all this stuff. So he's going to record before he goes in. He's going to record right after he gets out. He's going to talk about what happened behind these closed doors, as you know, as long as he's allowed to, right? He's not going to reveal confidential information that they tell him not to say. But this is going to be something that we're covering here as a team. So you got to make sure you're subscribed. You got to make sure you're on the email list, the newsletter, all that stuff. And we have a lot of great places where you can get plugged in. So again, maybe I'm a little bit biased here, TiVo, but I think that we're the best company here in all of crypto when it comes to coverage. We're doing these crypto rundowns Wednesday mornings every single week completely for free. We got Crypt Nation behind the scenes where we're constantly giving a much deeper analysis and newsletters, and we're talking about our portfolios and other stuff. And then we have Bryce going to crypto events here with the President of the United States, seeing what's happening in Washington, D.C. So if you want to get plugged into all this, everyone, check out the links in the description down below. But Tiva, did you have one more thing that you said?
I did. The chat is too active. The vibes are too high. I need you to pull up the Bitcoin price. I've been getting notifications the last 10 minutes of what's happening. I need you to show me and show the people what is going on with the Bitcoin price right now. Show me right now.
Right now. Give it to me. Give it to him right here. It's official. Oh, it's close, TiVo. We're tapping it. But I don't know if we're there.
Don't tease me.
We needed the push. Make the phone call.
Can we do it live? Let's do it. Let's. I'm gonna put a timer. We'll stay on for 2 minutes. Let's see if we can do it live. All right. The two minute timer starts right now. Before we sign off, that'll be like exactly an hour episode. Two minutes has begun.
Our all time high here was $109,350. So we need to push up. We basically need to break this white line is what it comes down to. So we're trying. I think we're going to do it.
I'll go on and buy some right now. I'm going to go buy some right now. We're live on the air.
Let's all contribute. I'll open up my phone. We're doing the buy orders. We're sending it through.
Here we go.
We're buying in mass. TiVo, let's push the price up for the community. We'll do it for the viewers. I'm doing it on my phone.
I'm in
as well. We're buying. We're pushing. We pushed it. We tapped it.
Go.
I saw a break.
We did. We broke through.
We broke through.
Let's go, dude.
There it goes. 109.5. New all-time highs here for Bitcoin.
Is that an official new all-time high?
That's official. That is officially higher, as you can see here on the chart. That is official new all-time high.
Unbelievable. We did it. We did it. I can't believe it. We had 30 seconds to spare on the 2 minute timer and we did it. Thanks to Tyler, Matt, Discovering Florida. Unbelievable. It's this stream that did it. It's actually a provable fact.
And this is even sending the TradFi more. I saw NASDAQ all of a sudden just went green as well. So Bitcoin's dragging everything to the upside. So happy new all-time highs, everyone. Weren't we just saying, this could happen before the end of the day. It's going to happen this month. What about it's going to happen before the end of this episode? What a curveball. So, yeah, I mean, altcoins starting to push up here. ETH at positive 2%, pushing up to 2,600. Solana pushing up to 173. XRP pushing up to $2.40. Ondo pushing back up to 97 cents. Aerodrome at 65 cents. And we are moving. So, all right, everyone.
Bryce was watching. Just putting the group social chat. Shout out, Bryce.
Yeah,
he's like, TiVo and Brendan just literally pushed us to new all-time highs. Let's go, boys. Let's go.
We were doing some buying. We made some phone calls. Well, we didn't make the phone calls. We just did it ourselves. Let's take the credit.
Yeah, we literally did it ourselves. We put the team on our back. We said, "Hey, chat, get on the back. We're going to do this together." And we pushed through. You're in the right place. Like that's what I say every week, right? You found the right place, like you just said, how all the coverage we have. Bryce is going to D.C. to be with the president. You're with us in the morning. We're telling you, Brendan's showing you literally on the charts, hey, all-time highs could be coming today, this week. We're going to get there. Watch out. 45 minutes later, if you stuck with us, where are we at? We're at all-time highs. So you're in the right spot. Like, subscribe, and make sure you keep checking out all the stuff that we're doing, whether it's inside the community or on the podcast channel. It's a great time to be here. It's a great time to be alive.
It is. Well, Tivo, I think that can bring us to a wrap here. We're excited to see new all-time highs. We love to see it happening on air. We hope everyone is having a great day. Because what this means is that everybody who has bought Bitcoin in all of its history, every single Bitcoin holder is now in profit. No one is at a loss. Everyone's in profit. Bitcoin is pushing back up into price discovery mode. So now all we can hope for is a big, swift, clean breakout with some really strong volume to the upside. And so ultimately, time will tell, but I think the truth of the matter here is that Bitcoin has a lot further to go than just $109,000. And so as we're looking into the big picture, a month from now, a year from now, multiple years from now, we think that this has a lot more potential to the upside than just what we're seeing. So we hope everyone enjoyed today's episode. As per usual, if you did, make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. We do these videos completely for free every single week. Around Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And if you want to get plugged in, we have all sorts of great links and communities down in the description down below. So thank you all for watching, and we'll see all of you at the same time, same place next week.